So we're salt. He says, you're the salt of the earth. And then he says, you're the light of the world. And so as salt, our lifestyle is the salt that preserves the things of God, the ways of God, the church of God, the worship of God. And then as light, we show the world how to get to Jesus. We plot the way to Jesus. And so, since the church belongs to Jesus, Jesus is the only one who has a vision for the church.
Amen.
We are called Bountiful Blessings World Fellowship. We are a part of the church. We are not the entire church. We are only a part of the body of Christ. The body is universal. The body is made up of all people.
Yes, yes.
The body is made up of all kinds of people and colors and people from every nation. And hear me, that every nation belongs to the Lord.
Yes.
Every nation belongs to the Lord. The earth is the Lord's. And the fullness thereof,
yes.
The world and they that dwell therein.
Yes, 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 yes.
And there are no places that Jesus considers trash bins. There are no places that Jesus considers to be toilets. And that the people who come from there, they're toilets and they come for toilets. Oh, you know where I'm going. For that matter, all the places are toilets. Because all of our righteousness is as filthy rags, toilets, toilet paper, soiled toilet paper. Without God, we are nothing. You have to understand the word of God to know that that's what they said of Jesus when they heard that he had come from Nazareth. They said, can any good thing come from that toilet hole? Oh, you're not hearing. That's what they said about him. Can any good thing come from that toilet hole? See, Rome was the power at that point. Why don't we get more people from Rome? Why don't we get more people from Greece? We don't want those people from Egypt, and we don't want those people from Nazareth. Those toilet holes. Boy, I tell you, people don't know. We are living in the last of the last days. It doesn't, all that is going on, it only makes me long for Jesus. I admit that our president is used mightily of the devil. Yes, he is. But I also admit that, wow, he is used mightily of the Lord. I'll never forget. I sat at the table with Mother Banks and Mother Turner, and we had our food together. Mother Turner put something together. You know she can do it. She's from the old school. She had friendship bread and something to drink and something to eat on, and we broke bread together, and we shared and prayed together and sang together, and we fellowshiped together. And Mother Banks said, "Bishop, you know, I think the Lord may be putting that man in there to get the church to pray." And she was prophesying. And I didn't like that. I didn't like the fact that, no, this joke ain't used of God. Oh, but yes, he is. I must admit, this man comes up with some stuff out of his mouth that has me going every which way, making me feel all some kind of ways. I'm feeling many different ways about it. Till I have to check myself and I come back to the place where God have mercy on him. Because the Bible says prayers ought to be made for those who sit in the seat of authority. And I find myself angry with him, and I find myself wanting to speak evil of him. And then I think of myself and I remember that I am what I am by the grace of God. And but for grace, that go I. But for grace, that would be me. And so I can't help but pray for our President Donald J. Trump. I pray for him. I pray God's blessings upon him. I pray God save him. Saves him. I pray God delivers him. I pray God stabilize, as the folks say, regulate his mind. Wake him up in his right mind. Because, honey, something is wrong. And something is wrong with you if you can't see that something is wrong with that president. Seducing spirits and doctrines of demons has been visiting him. And I see preachers standing beside him. And the Bible tells us that if we see evil, we see people doing things wrong and evil, not to even bid them Godspeed. Don't bid them Godspeed. And not when they're doing evil. We cannot speak a blessing on them when they're doing evil. And how dare we sit there by him and don't speak truth to power. Everybody knows it, that America is made up of immigrants. Yeah. And without Jesus, every place. As a matter of fact, there are some toilet holes here, right here in America. And some days all of us are acting like we come out of the toilet. Hello? Oh, you're not hearing me. Some days we're vessels of honor. Some days we're acting like vessels of dishonor. Some days blessings come out of our mouth. And sometimes things come out of our mouth that are not worthy to be even spoken of again. But Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And so when we talk about the church, first we have to understand that the church belongs to the Lord. And he has left us here to be salt to the earth, to preserve the earth. And he has left us here to be a light to the world. And so Jesus, we shared with you that God has a purpose and God has a vision for his church. And it is the same vision he's always had for his church. And we find that in Romans chapter number 8. We find Jesus' vision in Romans chapter number 8, verse 29. In the King James Version of this verse, In the King James Version of this verse, it says, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate or predetermine to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he, Jesus, might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. That means made right with himself. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. In the New Living Translation, for God knew his people in advance, and he chose them to become like his Son, so that his Son would be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And having chose them, he called them to come to him. He called. See that? He called. He called us to come to him. And having called them, he gave them right standing with himself. What's that? Justified. The first, he predestinate, he calls, he justifies, and he glorifies.
Yes.
Glory, in this case, we're not giving him glory, he's giving us glory.
Yes.
This is him giving us our glorified bodies, where we become like him.
Yes.
Our physical bodies become supernatural bodies like that of Jesus' body. Glorified bodies. That's when he gives us immortality. This mortal puts on immortality.
Right.
And so go back and read there. It says, having predestinated them, or having chosen them, the verse just before, and having chosen them, he called them to come to him. That's the call to salvation. And having called them, he gave them right standing with himself. That is, he made us right in his sight.
Yes, yes.
That's sanctification. He set us apart, made us right in his sight, and then he began a good work in us.
Amen.
That he's continuing until he comes. And after he makes us right, puts us in right standing with himself, he gave them his glory. And this is speaking in the past tense, in the present tense, and in the future tense. And as Sister Hattie said, we're doing the done. He's already done this. As far as he's concerned, it may not look like it, but there are days that I'm not right in the sight of man. But I am right forevermore in the sight of God. If I sin, I break fellowship, but I don't break my relationship with him, and I'm still in right standing. Hello? Because notice, this is not something I did. This is stuff he did. He chose us from the very beginning and called us to come to himself and gave us right standing with him.
Amen.
Then he glorifies us. This is the vision for the church.
Amen.
It has always been the vision for the church.
Amen.
The vision for the church says that he predestined us to be conformed to the image of his Son. Go back up to verse 29. For God knew his people in advance is before the very foundation of the world, before he ever created the world, and he chose them to become like his son. We are to become like God the Father's Son.
Amen. Amen.
Who is himself like God the Father. And then we share with you that in three words, what God wants us to do. He wants us to learn.
Yes.
He wants us to grow.
Yes.
And he wants us to serve.
Yes.
He wants us to learn. He wants us to grow. And he wants us to serve. And listen, everything that God requires of us, Jesus did it before us, did it for us, and then said, follow me. And he says, my sheep know me, and I know them, they know my voice, and a stranger, they will not follow. They will follow my voice. And he says, they'll follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish.
Amen.
But now let's look at the fact that he called us to learn, and he can call us to learn because he himself learned.
Amen.
Everything he tells us to do, he's already done it for us and done it before us. And so he tells us, oh, it can be done. It can be done. He calls us to learn. Amen. Let's look in the scripture where it says that he himself. Hebrews chapter number 5, verse 8. Hebrews chapter number 5, verse 8. King James Version says, though he were a son, yet he what?
Learned
he obedience by the things which he what?
Suffered.
The New Living Translation says, even though Jesus was God's son, he learned obedience from the things he suffered. Two things there. We know he suffered, which means he had to go through many trials and tribulations. But the word suffer can also mean the things that he allowed to happen in his life.
Amen.
The things that he put up with.
Amen.
The things that he forbear. He had to forbear and he had to put up with.
Amen.
He put up with the ridicule of puny, mere humans. When he himself was God, the Bible says he humbled himself and became a servant, became like a man. He took off his glory and he emptied himself and he humbled himself. And he learned obedience. He practiced obedience by allowing himself to go through the things that the Father called him to go through. He says, lo, in the book, in the volume of the book, it is said, lo, in the volume of the book, I came not to do my own will, but to do the will of him that sent me. He learned. He learned. Even though he was God's son, he learned. And look at what it says in verse 9. In this way, God qualified him as a perfect high priest. And he became the source of eternal salvation for all those who obey him. Sometimes we get confused. We say, I thought y'all said Jesus was the Son, but over in Isaiah says, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, everlasting Father. Wait a minute, is he the Son or is he the Father? He's both. The question is not is he the Son or is the Father, but what is he the Father of and what is he the Son of?
Come on.
Because Jesus is so many things, he's multidimensional, because in one sense he's our brother. The Bible says that God called him, called us in advance so that he might become the firstborn of many brethren. So that make us his what? Brothers and sisters. So he's our brother. But in this verse, it explains to us how he is the mighty God and the everlasting Father. Because whatever I birth, I'm the father of. If I write a song, I'm the author of that song. I'm the father of that song. That's my baby, if you understand. It came from me. It proceeded out of me. If I write a book, it came from me. It proceeded out of me. And so, in Jesus, it says, he became the source. In the King James Version, it says he became the author of eternal salvation.
Amen.
Another word for author and source is father.
Yes.
Progenitor.
Yeah.
Are you with me?
Amen.
The producer.
Yes.
He became the source of eternal salvation for all those who obey him.
Uh-huh.
Wow. And God designated him to be a high priest in the order of Melchizedek. There is much more we would like to say about this, the writer says, but it is difficult to explain, especially since you are spiritually dull. Don't seem to listen. Oh my. We're still talking about the fact that we need to learn. Okay? And some of this stuff that we're learning, we need to internalize it. That's why we need to memorize the word of God. Thy word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against thee. So when you get in a position and you say, I don't know what to do, well, you know what to do because you've been taught. You learn. There comes a time where you cannot make excuses about this. You have to just be strong and be mature, be a grown man and a grown woman and say, I was wrong. Lord, help me. Lord, forgive me. I knew it was wrong. I was disobedient, just like my daddy, Adam. Sometimes we can say in certain situations we were acting like Eve and we were deceived, but there comes a point when we grow up. And we're not growing up, I said Adam, but we're not growing up into Eve or Adam, but we grow up into Christ. And we know when we are wrong and we know when we are right, because the scripture says it here, you have been believers so long now that you ought to be what? Teaching others. Instead, you need someone to teach you again about the basic things about God's word. You are like babies who need milk and cannot eat solid food. For someone who lives on milk is still an infant and doesn't know how to do what is what?
Right.
Remember, you're mature, Sister Tara. You mature not because of what you know, but how much of that knowing that you do.
Come on.
You're not mature just because you know a lot of scriptures and can quote a lot of scriptures. That's not maturity. That's mental growth. You have learned some things. But that doesn't mean you're mature, because you're not mature until you're doing the things you've learned. The scripture says, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set Make you free, whichever version you read from. It means the same thing. It'll set you free, make you free. The point is you're free. When I was you set free, I was you made free. Oh, listen, my friend. If I'm free, if I was in jail and they set me free or made me free, what's the difference? Now, I can go there with you if you want to, okay? I can explain to you that, yes, I can set you free from prison, but now if you are in prison and you let me teach you and you let me train you, I can make you free while you're still in prison. So you'll know the truth, and the truth shall, let's go there if you want to, make you free. Well, it's like this. It's not just what you know, but it's what you do. You really don't know the truth until you have become one with the truth.
Amen.
You really don't know the truth until you have become one with the truth, meaning you have experienced that truth, that you have operated in that truth. Me and that truth are one. Because I do the truth. See, Jesus just didn't know truth. He was truth. He did truth. He walked in truth. Are you hearing me? He walked in truth. He became the essence of truth. That's why he said, many will come before me and say, they did all these kind of things, but he said, depart from me, I never knew you.
Right.
But wait a minute, isn't Jesus knowledgeable of everybody? Sure, because that word know there means I have not become intimate with you.
Right.
You didn't come into me and I didn't come into you. I knocked at the door, but you didn't open the door. And if you did open the door, I didn't come in. Because you wasn't mine. I didn't choose you. But see, we know if Jesus don't come in, it's not because he rejected you, it's because you rejected him. Because he said, all that come to me, I will in no wise cast out. But if he said, depart from me, I never knew you. I've learned how to to suffer. It all goes together.
Amen.
Somebody said Jesus learned. And we must learn. Yes. Jesus learned and we must learn. He not only learned, but he grew.
Yes.
And we must grow. Let's turn to the scripture where it says that Jesus grew. Yes. What is the vision for the church? That the church becomes like Jesus. Yes. We'll find that in Luke chapter number 2, verse 40. Luke chapter number 2. Verse 39 talks about Joseph and Mary and Joseph taking Jesus into the temple and how Simeon, the man of God, praised God for seeing the salvation of the Lord, and how Anna, the woman of God, went around telling everybody about Jesus. And in verse 39, it says in the New Living Translation, it says, and when Jesus' parents had fulfilled all the requirements of the law of the Lord, they returned home to Nazareth in Galilee. Then the child grew up healthy and strong. He was filled with wisdom, and God's favor was what?
On him.
The King James Version says, and the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Amen? Jesus learned, and he's calling us to learn.
Amen.
Jesus grew, and he calls us to grow. Amen? And that's the vision. That's at least the first two steps of Jesus' vision. He wants us to be conformed. It is the Father's vision. It is Jesus' vision. It is my vision as your pastor. It is your vision as a child of God that you become conformed to the image of Jesus. That you take on his character. Every day you become more and more like Jesus. And then Jesus served. Let's turn and see where he served. Sister Faith made mention of it today when Jesus did his great act of service. And so, let's look at this verse. Mm-hmm. Let's look at John chapter number 12. Matter of fact, let's turn to chapter number 13. John chapter number 13. We'll go there with whatever version you have there. But in John chapter number 13, now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world, he knew that it was time off almost for him to go unto the Father. Having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. Oh my, that's precious. He loved them unto the end. That's a word for us, that he will love us unto the end, no matter what, knowing everything about us. Jesus knows us, and Jesus loves us. Somebody said, though the little song said, Jesus loved me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Then someone else said, Jesus knows me. This I love.
Amen.
Jesus knows me. This I love.
Amen.
Remember, he's going to say to some, I never what? Jesus knows me, and this I love. Because see, he knows me and he loves me. And he's not intimidated by any of my faults. And I don't gross it out anymore. He was grossed out on the cross, and that's it. And he said he's going unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them until the end. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God. My. He riseth from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. After that he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter said unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now. You don't understand what I'm doing. You don't understand. I'm cleaning you. I'm making you a part of me. See, I'm holding whatever was going to be with me. Got to be holy too. You got to be like I am. I'm like my Father. My Father is holy, so I am holy. And if I'm holy, you got to be holy. And so since you can't make me holy, I've got to wash you and make you holy. You can't make yourself holy. He said, you don't know what I'm doing right now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Yes, you will. Peter said unto him, thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter said unto him, rightly so, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Wash me completely. Jesus said to him, he that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him. Look at that. Even before Peter denied him, Jesus said he was clean.
Yes.
He
He done already cleaned them, already made them right in the sight of God. They didn't even fill with the Holy Ghost yet, but he said, you're right. You're clean. He's calling things that be not as what? Though they were. I mean, as you look in this verse, he's always talking in a futuristic term. He's talking about, I came from the Father and I went to the Father. When? Jesus, you still standing here with me, but you're here and went to the Father. Babe, I'm just walking, doing the done. I'm just walking this stuff out. It's already been done. Well, he knew who should betray him, therefore said he, ye are not all clean. So after he had washed their feet and taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, know ye what I have done to you? You call me Master and Lord, and ye say, well, for so I am. People asked, did Jesus say he was God? Yes, he did. He said, I'm Master and Lord. And he told us, don't call no man Master, because you have only one Master. And here he's claiming that he's the Master. If I then your Lord, he's claiming he's their Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. For verily I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither is he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happy are ye if ye what?
Do them.
Do them. We got to not only learn the truth, we got to do the truth.
Amen.
We've got to learn, we've got to grow. Let's keep reading a little bit more. We've got to learn, we've got to grow, and we've got to
serve.
I speak not of you all. I know whom I have chosen, but the scripture may be fulfilled. He that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me. Jesus' vision for the church in 2018 is that we be conformed to the image of his Son. That we become like Jesus every day, our character becoming more and more like Jesus. Elder Hashim said that the Lord spoke to him that the men of Bountiful should eat, yea, every man that is male man, is to bring five other men to Bountiful. And if we're going to fulfill that, now in saying that, let me say this, that he simply repeated what Jesus said. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. God wants the few laborers to go get the harvest.
Amen. Amen.
He said it to the males, the men, but it really is to everybody.
Amen. Amen.
Churches grow because people go and tell other people about their church. And they bring somebody with them. Either you have a problem with your church that you don't bring nobody with you.
Come on.
And that may mean that you need to go to a church that you're comfortable enough with so you can obey God. It really doesn't matter. You can talk all you want, but if you ain't bringing nobody, it ain't that good to you.
Come on, God. Come on, God.
But now hear this, I understand that you can't make people get saved.
Right, right.
And we're not talking about necessarily going and getting people from other churches. Even though there are some churches that other people need to come up out of that,
right.
They don't know it, but you ain't necessarily trying to do that, but I'm just saying, it's all sheep are supposed to be making babies.
Amen.
Amen.
And you say, Pastor, but you preach too hard and you preach too strong. Listen, I just preach the word of God.
Amen.
I can't make them receive it. You can't make them receive it. And in all actuality, you need to stop saying that to an old professor. You preach too hard. You ought to be preaching the very same thing. As a matter of fact, when they come, they should say, you and your pastor talk about it. What are you preaching if you ain't preaching the same thing I'm preaching? If you know, most of you who know me know, he comes directly out of the word. He's not going to say anything that he cannot prove by two or three scriptures from this word. If I ain't got nothing else, I got that right. That's why I can't let this go. I got too many other problems, but I got one thing that I'm going to hold on to. Mary was at the feet of Jesus, and Martha said, Lord, don't you see? She ain't having me cooking clean. Jesus said, she's picked. She's chosen the principal thing, and it shall not be taken away from her. She was sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening to his word. And I know if I ain't got nothing else right, I made a vow to God, I'm going to preach his word. I said to you when I was 24 years old, I had only one thing from the Lord. I knew a whole lot of churches where you can go and they can shout you and they can help you have a good time. But the Lord put in my spirit, you've got to teach my people, because my people perish for a lack of knowledge. Peter, do you love me? Feed my sheep. What you say? If Peter, do you love me? Feed my sheep. Lord, you know I love you. Feed my lambs. Feed my sheep. Somebody said, Pastor, you ought to hoop more. Tell you what, bring five people with you. You want to make the party happy, honey? You go get the harvest. Go get some laborers, honey. And listen, I won't help but be able to shout. See, that's all preaching is, of what they call hooping. It ain't nothing but celebration. But look, you're going to be. Look at Acts chapter 6 with me. And so, brothers and sisters, we'll look at verse 1 first. But as the believers rapidly multiplied, there were rumblings of what? Discontent. Now see, understand that more people, more problems. You got to have more workers. You got to have people who can teach you. Because they're going to come in with all kind of worldly ways. And you got to develop a relationship with them before you try to tell them what they can and should not do. You got to be an example to them in every way.
Amen. Amen.
As Paul told Timothy, be an example to the believers.
Yes.
But as the believers rapidly multiplied, there were rumblings of discontent. The Greek-speaking believers complained about the Hebrew-speaking believers, saying that their widows were being discriminated against in the daily distribution of food. So the 12, who is that? The disciples, the apostles now, called a meeting of all the believers, and they said, we apostles should spend our time teaching the word of God, not running a food program. Hello?
Amen.
These people had physical needs.
Yes.
This chapter here is the chapter, the first chapter when the apostles first began to choose deacons. Now, do understand, before they became apostles, they learned how to serve. Jesus taught them how to serve. When he fed the 5,000, how did he get the food to the 5,000? He gave it to the disciples and they distributed it. So we all are servants. I'm not trying to get out of serving. I'm not trying to get out of doing it. I'm just saying, brothers, help me. And you say, well, I don't know how to do that. Come on, I'll teach you. Some stuff I don't know how to do. I'm learning all as we go. One thing about it, if you've been poor, you know how to make it. Baby, I'm telling you, when mom and them couldn't buy me a bicycle for Christmas, I knew how to make a bicycle. I found a rim here, a inner tube there, some handlebars here, a seat from there. I know how to make my own Christmas present. When you poor, baby, you ain't got nothing. Don't tell me that God don't talk to folk. A many days, Sister Christian will testify. Something was going wrong with our cars, whichever one it was, the Volvo, where the windows kept falling down, the smoking Chevrolet, when we had even the Mercedes, and things are going wrong. And I said, Lord, I don't want to pay these guys this high money for these Mercedes that they want to charge. There was a time, I'm telling you, I'm going out there and I said, Lord, show me what's wrong with this car. Show me, Lord, what's wrong and show me how to fix it. And I'm telling you, God will tell me, it's that little pipe right there. It's that valve right there. Turn this, do this. The Lord will give you wisdom. See, we don't want to suffer, but you can't experience a miracle. That everybody who got a miracle was in a terrible position. They were in a suffering state. One man was blind. God can't open your eyes if he can't. Oh my goodness. If he don't let you go through some dark days, God can't feed you. If you're not willing to go through some days when you ain't got any money. Oh, God, send me a miracle, baby. Before there's a miracle, before there's a great need, there's a great, before there's a great miracle, there's a great need. Before peace be still, comes a great storm. Oh my.
Hallelujah.
Mother Banks said even the other day, she said, I'm not as patient as I need to be. She said, I'm asking the Lord for more patience. I said, oh God. Oh God. I said, oh God. I didn't tell her, but I want to. I said, Mama, don't ask for no patience. Don't ask for no patience. You know, just be specific. Just be general. Don't be specific. See, you ask the Lord, Lord, work in me the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, good, all that. It's a long term. You don't get specific, because if you specifically ask him for patience, the Bible says tribulation. Tribulation bringeth about patience. You learn patience through the tribulations that you suffer. Am I preaching or what? I said, Lord, she don't mean it. She said, Lord, I'm praying for patience. I said, no, Lord, don't give her no more patience now. Please don't put nothing else on Mother Banks. I can't stand no more, Jesus. Because everybody know I love these two girls here. I do, these my girls here, but I love these two girls here, boy. And if something's going wrong with them, something's going wrong with me. When Dot is depressed, I'm depressed. Lord Jesus, when I don't see one, I ask the other, where they lean at? Maybe you hear that, I said, what Dot? Because I love these little girls. And when she said, oh Lord, I pray for patience. I said, Lord, don't pay attention to them. Lord, she don't need no more patience. Cause if she can't get no patience without getting some more tribulation, Lord, just don't give her no more patience. Just give her grace. That's what you need, guys. You need some grace. My grace is sufficient for you. Give her some more grace, Lord, so she can deal with this. Are y'all with me? Come on, let's read the rest of this and I'm done. Because I'm thankful that you're here. Yes. Amen. 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 I said, I'm thankful that you're here. Yes. When I speak of the fact that I want you to be on time, and I'm not saying that I don't want you to come. Hear me? I'm not saying I don't want you to come. But I got to. I do have to tell you the more perfect way. I'm glad you're here. But the more perfect way is on time. I'm glad you're doing some things that you're doing. But the more perfect way is, oh, there's more to this. God has more for you. There is more that He requires of you. Hello? We have some gifted people in here.
Yes.
I wish I could help the saints understand. Whatever it is that you're doing, keep God in front of it.
Yes.
Know when to say yes, and know when to say no.
Amen.
And remember, all the gifts that you have, God gave them to you.
Yes.
Don't use it all up for the world and for money. And don't give the Lord His time. He still got to be first.
Yes.
We meet together on Sunday. Just because you got a new promotion and a new job and opening your own business and all of that, that don't mean stop doing for the Lord. What's going to happen is you're going to end up losing it. Don't be afraid to tithe from your work and from your business. God is He'll bless both of them. And don't say, well, you know, I own the store, I own this, I do, but then you can't come to work because to church because you're working too much. No, we still need a Sabbath. We still, the Sabbath ain't just for, listen, the Sabbath was made for you, but it is for you, it's for your good, it's for your rest, and it's for you to connect with your Father.
Yes.
And we are a body, and we can't get this stuff off, we can't get it out of balance. And I know people are acting like, oh, well, I got to make that money, I got to be on my grind, I got to somebody, we need to learn from Hobby Lobby. The man owns all these Hobby Lobbies all over the world. We need to learn from what's that place down there? Chick-fil-A. They study McDonald's. God did this for us, and we're going to give them this day. And they shut it down. And baby, it's a rare occasion they're not crowded. To the Lord, and they're still making as much money as McDonald's and everybody else who's open every day. The man who owns Hobby Lobby wrote a book, talked about how talked about how much money he's made. He made has been making doing the Hobby Lobby stores, and the name of his book is Giving It All Away. Giving It All Away. How giving it all away has caused him to get more. Because he's giving it to kingdom. The kingdom. He's giving it to missionaries. He's giving it to his church. We're in verse 2. So the 12 called the multitude of the disciples. See, the 12 are now the apostles. So the 12 called a meeting of all the believers. They said, we apostles should spend our time teaching the word of God, not running a food program, not taking care of all the other physical needs of the church. Uh-huh. Do y'all see this? The food program was a natural thing. And they said, let's find seven men. So he said, so brothers, select seven men who are well respected, mm-hmm. are full of the Spirit and wisdom, uh-huh. and we will give them this responsibility. Then we apostles can spend our time in prayer and teaching the word. I'll do it if I have to do it. But know that you are hurting both of us. If I'm spending my time waiting on tables, doing toilets, paying buildings, if I'm doing that, I'm taking away time from the word. And all of us suffer. It makes us work hard. What it simply means is I'll end up wearing myself out. Hello? Ain't no two ways about it. I'll just end up wearing myself out and will not be able to last. My prayer is that Bountiful won't die when I die.
Amen. Amen.
That if God should move beyond, that Bountiful won't die because you love the Lord and you love each other.
Yes. Amen.
Let's read a little bit more, Sister Christina. Is it plain what the apostles are supposed to be doing? What the preachers are supposed to be doing, then we apostles can spend our time in prayer and teaching the word. Everyone liked this idea, and they chose the following. Stephen, man full of faith and the Holy Spirit. Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, Nicholas of Antioch, an earlier convert to the Jewish faith. These seven were presented to the apostles, who prayed for them as they laid their hands on them. So God's message continued to spread. The number of believers greatly increased in Jerusalem. Many of the Jewish priests were converted too. Let me stop there and say, our vision, the Lord's vision, is becoming like Christ. We become like Christ by doing what he did. He learned, he grew, and he served. He was in his place. He was prepared, and he was persistent. Did you hear that, saints? Be in your place. Be prepared, and be persistent. Show up. then stand up and do what needs to be done. And then stick to it. Amen. Let's pray. Brother Hashim, will you come and pray?